Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. All right, we are back. Welcome to episode 47 of Real Talk with Dana. We have a little bit of a different episode today, and I know I said that last week as well when we were talking about business and stuff, but this week we have one of my really good friends, Anya Cates, on the podcast. So Anya is an integrative nutrition health coach, a photographer, marketer, and an astrologer. So her background is working in the natural products industry on the brand side and then on the blogger influencer side, but in the past year, she's experienced a huge shift in her business that was totally intentional. After going through some really tough personal and health shit, and now her totally kick-ass business, not that it wasn't kick-ass before, but it's even more amazing now, it's less focused on food and more of a personal brand on dealing with grief and astrology, and she recently also started her own podcast called A Millennial's Guide to Saving the World. So, couple of things to note about this podcast. We're not talking about food. We're not talking about body image. We're talking about business a little bit, but most of what we're going to be talking about is making major shifts in your life and grief and dealing with past traumas and the different ways that we cope with those things. So if that's not your jam, then maybe listen to another episode of the podcast because I have about 46 of those. But the other thing to note here is that I know I always say that this podcast is uncensored, but this is really an uncensored episode. Anya and I tend to bring out the sailor's mouth in each other. So if that's not your thing, you also may want to listen to another episode, just a fair warning. So yeah, so there's that. But seriously, so in this episode, we're going to talk about going through tough shit, like getting a divorce only 7 months into your marriage, getting kicked out of your house and having your health fall apart all at the same time. And then Anya's also talking about how to keep your personal business going through all of that without totally losing your shit and a lot of crying too, and embracing the complexity of wellness and happiness, knowing that you can't just eat the right food, do the right things, do the right exercise, have a spiritual practice, and just cherry pick those. You have to do all of the things together synergistically in order to be truly healthy and happy. So without any further ado, let's get to the episode with Anya. Why don't you introduce yourself? Like, who the fuck are you?
Good question. I am Anya.
Good start.
I live in Topanga, California right now.
In the mountains of my dreams.
It is beautiful out here. I like basically live in LA, but I don't live in LA. It's like very strange that I can be in Santa Monica in 25 minutes, but like I seems like I live in the middle of nowhere. So I do a lot of different things. I spent, I guess, most of my professional career working in health and wellness in the natural products industry. So doing marketing for multiple different startups, and then later along that path, starting my own blog, which is obviously how we met. And I still work for brands in a freelance capacity. But in the past few years, started doing a bunch of other stuff, like becoming an astrologer and starting a podcast. And so certainly like in the midst of or just coming out of a really big transition. But I would love to encourage more people to like you do this too, like do many different things, right? Like we don't have to just do one thing. We can have multiple interests. So
yeah, and never settling, that's for sure.
Yeah, totally. And like, okay, well, I wanted to have a blog, a health and wellness blog for a really long time, and then I didn't. So like now I'm going to do something else, and that's totally legit and fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went from, and tell me if I'm forgetting anything, but you went from being an integrative nutrition health coach, which like we also had that in common when we first met. And then you were working at like Suja and other natural products companies, blogger, recipe developer, doing all this freelance stuff with also If you guys haven't seen Anya's stuff, she has some of the best photography that I've ever seen, and I like strive to be that good at photography.
Wow, that is quite the compliment. Thank you.
Well, that's why you get paid so well for it. So there's that too.
I mean, maybe.
But then last year, at least on your like the face of your Instagram, you started to make a huge change in what you were doing on your business to more of a personal brand and like less of food. So I'd love for you to talk about that transition.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I guess for me, like the one thing that I always sort of had in my mind about my career was that I never really had like a plan. I was definitely very over controlling in all other aspects of my life. But for whatever reason with my career, I was just like, well, I'm just kind of into this right now. So I'm going to do this and pursue it and see what happens. So after I graduated college, I went to college for gender and sexuality. So like working in health and marketing was completely not anything that I suspected I would do. But straight out of college, I got a part-time job at Whole Foods and then got promoted to having a full-time job at Whole Foods, which connected me with a lot of startup natural products brands and that kind of took off from there. And I was really into health on a personal level at that time. I had just sort of, you know, recognized that I had health issues. I think like we all kind of go through that process where we're like, oh, this isn't normal. So I kind of went through one of those. And so it was at the time bubbling for me in terms of my interest on a personal level. And I started cooking and I started learning about food and eventually, yeah, became a certified holistic health coach and kind of knew that I didn't really totally want to become a health coach one-on-one, but that I really just kind of wanted that education. It ended up being, which I always hear from people who go to IIN, like it was just like a really personally fulfilling experience. Like, and then, you know, and all of those things really interested me. And I was particularly struggling with health issues really for the last like 7 years. So like while this was all going on, and obviously like I started eating a paleo diet, like before it was cool, like before anybody knew that it was a thing. And God, I don't even know how many years ago that was now, but it was like I met 10 more than 10 years ago, 10 years ago. So I was doing all these things. I was working out. I mean, I knew everything about like what to do in order to be healthy. And I was struggling still. And it was kind of in the back of my mind that like, how come I can't figure this out? And then I went through a really hard personal time where my health was okay. It was like balanced, I suppose. And I got a divorce, moved out of my house, like ridiculous things ensued. That was just like one trauma, stressful situation after the other. And my health completely deteriorated simultaneous to that without changing anything else in my life. And so a sort of a light bulb went off for me about really how vital emotional wellness is comparatively to just the food you eat and the exercise you're doing and even the meditation you're doing and the yoga you're doing, like all of that stuff. And so it didn't feel right anymore for me to have this blog that I had at the time, this food blog really. And when I started it, I wanted to talk about mindset stuff, but I think I got sort of carried away with needing to make it a business, honestly, and was like, well, I want this to be my job, so I'm just going to post more recipes that have affiliate links and work with brands on sponsored posts. And it just got to be something I didn't feel authentic about putting out there anymore. And so in my own trying to figure out what the heck was wrong with me and like why I'd been sick my entire life and why it was really bad right now and how I would make it better, and having spent over a decade really digging into my health and recognizing that like none of that was none of that really mattered on its own. Yeah, I just went on my own personal journey and then decided to present that authentically outward. So it was like, I'm not going to post about this stuff anymore if it's not really what's happening for me. And I really wanted to share my own journey, especially because when I was going through a really tough time, it was really challenging for me to find anyone to connect with. Yeah, and I mean, I could go on and on, but I do think like in that process too, you're so, what happens when you go through a really challenging, transformative time like that. You really start to question like your community and your friends and even your family, and like your whole immediate surroundings kind of shift. And it's like this desperate time when you need somebody to just be like, I see you and I totally get what you're going through. And so I felt really strongly that like I had to provide that space for people to be like, I know this is fucked up and there's other people here that have like gone through it, and you're safe to change and to grieve. And I at that point just decided like I was just going to do what felt just completely like from my heart and genuine. And this is where we've ended up.
Yeah. Well, I remember this must've been like two or more years ago, and we were talking about like business stuff, because I was asking you on like, how do you work with brands, you know, coming from the marketing side and stuff, before I ever got started in all of this. So maybe 3 years ago. But even then, I remember you saying, you know, a bunch of people in our space that we knew were starting to write cookbooks and stuff. And you're like, yeah, I think I want to write a book one day, but it's not going to be about food at all. And I was like, oh, okay. Even though like what you're really good at and what you do is food. And you're like, yeah, it might be about hormones or like acne and stuff, but I really want it to be about like life. And I was like, all right then.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no memory of saying that to you, which is really hilarious, but no, it makes sense.
In a past life.
Yeah, totally. Seriously. It makes sense. And I think that is really what I would love to share through my podcast and through the work that I'm doing now, is like embracing the complexity of wellness or happiness or any of this stuff, right? Like, you can't just eat the right food. You can't just do the right workouts. You can't just have a spiritual practice. You can't just, you know, be outside a lot. Like, you have to do all these things. You don't just get to like cherry pick which you like, you know. It is a really well-rounded journey and goal. I always felt like that. It was like, I'm just kind of touching on one thing, and getting so caught up, I think, in like, you know, especially in the marketing world, which is where I came from, you know, there's so much about like, what is your niche and like, who is your target audience? And like, you know, what are these performance indicators? And I know how to do that really well, because it's just like the space that I came from. So in my own blog, I just kind of was like, well, I just got to like do this and do that. And here's my brand and blah, blah, blah. And then kind of stepping back from that a bit, and especially after just like, I remember it was basically a year ago, just like going on Instagram Live, I'm just like, hey guys, like JK about the health blog, like, no, it's no more. And like, we're going to talk about like life and sex and relationships and spirituality and like whatever. And that, you know, in doing that, and realizing that like, that's always been me. I've always been the type of person that's had multiple different interests and things, like just like in super macro, like avant-garde ways. Like I've always, and people are always like, wow, that's like a big idea, you know? And like just sort of trying now in actually being like, well, fuck it. Like, why don't I just do that? Like, that is how I think and that's what I do. So why don't I just have those big ideas? And then seeing that it's like, yeah, once you start doing that, we were talking about this earlier, like once you start just doing what is you and the things that you're interested in, the people that you attract and the feedback that you get and the way that you're able to, you know, relate to people and connect with people just grows so freaking substantially that it's hard once you start that process to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go back to like doing that fake thing. It's like, whoa, all I had to do was be myself. Like, shit, I should have done that way sooner. Cool.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's hard too, because I mean, most people think it's hard to start one business. You've basically started two, if not more, at different times. And you started the second iteration, I guess, of your business after you had already built this like pretty large social media following. And I know you were saying recently, like you hadn't really talked about it before, but it was really hard, but also felt kind of cathartic at the same time when you saw, when you posted your like longest Instagram story I've ever seen in my life. That was like an hour, like an hour and a half or something, when it was just like a tell all of like, this is what's happening to me. This is why I'm not doing food anymore. I'm going to be doing more of the like lifestyle, mindset, emotional, spiritual health stuff. And after you posted that, I remember you saying like a ton of people just started unfollowing you, which is really hard at first because it's like I've built something and they followed me for a reason because they appreciate what I'm doing. But now, like as I change, if you don't like me for who I am now and what I'm doing, then basically like go find someone else to follow. There's millions of other people on social media. And if you want to follow someone who just posts recipes all the time, then there's plenty of those and you can go follow them. But I'm going to start keep being my authentic self. And I know that that authentic self is going to attract my tribe. And those are the people that I want around anyways.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think I got to the point then where like I'd done that before. I'd done the whole, oh my God, like my following and what that looks like and how I'm going to partner with brands and like, oh my God, what a fucking waste of time. And I just like, seriously, it's like just been such a relief to like not give a shit about that anymore. And you know, and it's hard and you still to some extent have to like make connections and like I have a business to run and I can't just like do that in the dark. But yeah, I think after all along my journey, you know, it was so easy to get over something like that because at a certain point I just recognized that like, no, the answer here is that I need to do me and I need to do what I love and I need to put that out into the world. And of course it's going to be a transition and of course people are not going to like it and of course people are going to leave. And that's fine. I'm just going to keep doing it because if I, because of how crappy and awful my life was at this time, it was like, it really did feel like I just had to do what made me happy or like death. I mean, it really didn't. People always will say that to me like, oh, you're so brave for doing this and that. And it's like, I don't really feel like I have the choice sometimes, you know, you just get to a certain point, you know, a dark night of the soul or whatever it is where like you recognize that so much of the stuff you cared about controlling is not worth ever thinking about. So yeah, it was definitely cathartic. Like I wanted more of them to go away. Like the fact that people are still going away, it's like, yeah, awesome. Because the more I start talking about what I want, I mean, especially with the podcast, like a lot of people are going to go away and a lot of people are going to be angry, you know, and who are my heroes, if not the people that are unpopular, you know, the people that say what no one else is willing to say. You know, any sort of definition of activism is to just like continue to do something through discomfort and danger and risk. And I wish a lot more people did that, you know, because I think it would be then less scary for others too. So it was wonderful to get off of that concern around who those people were and just kind of be like, well, this is what I'm going to do. And so regardless of what that following looks like it is going to be whatever it's supposed to be. So.
Yeah. And I feel like you also have so much more of an impact and so much more of a connection with the audience that you do build, like no matter what size they are, you know, whether it's 500 people or 500,000 people, like the content that you're putting out now is so personal and connects on such a deep level with people that like it's so different from, you know, okay, I just put this recipe up for, you know, whatever, which gets a lot of likes and it'll get a lot of comments and stuff. But on the one hand, like how many people are actually going to make that recipe? And on the other hand, that recipe could have come from literally anyone, you know, and I recognize this as someone who's part of their business is food and recipes and stuff, and people love that stuff, but they are not going to remember me for the burger recipe that I put up yesterday or whatever, you know? They're going to remember me for the hour-long podcasts that we're putting out about like much deeper shit than like, okay, so you're going to fry the sweet potato on both sides and then you're going to put it on top of the burger and it's going to be a gluten-free bun. It's the best invention ever, you know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay,
Yeah,
so
totally.
I know we've been talking about like going through a lot of tough shit and at the same time building an authentic business. But so how did you deal with it all while you were trying to keep your business going and not only keep like your income level going, but also transitioning your business into this other iteration, which I would guess was probably super therapeutic too.
Yeah. Excellent question. I mean, first of all,
How did I do it?
I think, I think about this a lot. My goal, it was so funny because my goal for so long professionally was to have my own business and work for myself. I kind of like knew early on that I didn't do well working for other people and with people. And so I really made an effort to like get myself to the point where I could work by myself. And just, I guess, a year and a half before all everything fell apart, I was working for myself. And so I'm like really grateful. Had that not been the case, like I just have to say, like my own privilege and situation that I had the ability to work for myself. I don't know how I would have done it otherwise. Like I really don't know how I would have continued to go into an office or. Yeah, that would have been a nightmare. I probably would have quit my job, like no joke. So that was the first thing. The second thing was that I think because I've always had like so many different interests and it was like, well, worst comes to worst, I could like be a health coach or a photographer or a marketing consultant or like because I've done 800 things, there was always something to kind of fall back on. And so during this time, it was like, okay, well, what is the stuff I can still manage? And that was my content and photography work for brands. So I do a lot of like videos and photography and marketing strategy, content strategy in general for brands. And that was something I could do at my home still. And it was artistic and I got it was I had the space and time to do that. Like I moved myself into an apartment by myself, like I had a lot of quiet time. I had time to do the work I needed to do, plus be able to do other things and work on myself and pursue other interests and cry a lot. I guess that's the answer. It's like because I was flexible in my skill set and willing to just do whatever it took to survive this period of time, I can't say that I felt like the most passionate ever about the photography work that I was doing, but it was sustaining me and it was artistic and I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed photography and I really like producing what I produce and I still really like food and working with food and I still really want to advance the brands that are in this industry because I really believe that that's going to be really helpful in the future and us not eating toxic poison. So that all felt good. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's all I can say. Like it was very hard the first few months, especially just the pressure I had put on myself, especially in terms of my blog. It was like, yeah, what the hell do I do now? There's 25,000 people following me on Instagram and I don't want to do this anymore. And I just was like, I'm just gonna stop posting recipes. Like I couldn't get myself. I mean, I wasn't even have a home at that point. Like there was no way that I could do it. Thankfully, I didn't make that much money on my blog, so I didn't lose that much income. But I certainly lost some. And yeah, I just did what I could and I survived. I've made a lot of transitions in my life professionally. I have started multiple business and multiple different projects. And I've always came at it like, well, I really like astrology. So how do I monetize that? Like, how can I make that like me not just spending hundreds of hours in my, and over a course of a year doing that? It's like, well, it's helpful when learning astrology to give readings and you can charge money for readings. And so that's what I'm going to do, and I've always been really I've been always been pretty creative around how to make money. And I because I've never had a clear trajectory, it was never totally scary for me to veer off course a little bit. It was like, well, who cares? Like, I need money right now because I'm trying to get to this goal and to that goal. So I'm just gonna keep doing whatever I need to do to get there without losing sight of that goal, right? And like falling into the mundane. So I don't know. I mean, now it's like interesting because I'm still that's still the bulk of my income is my photography business. But yet the vast majority of my time is being spent doing other things. But I don't know. I love stuff like that. And I think when you as we get older, you know, it's like you really do start to realize that everything has a place. And like it's not that if you go into one business and go into the next, that that first whole experience was a waste of your time. Like, it's so clear that it assisted us in X number of ways. And I just think that's really cool. It's like, oh my goodness, I get to like combine photography and writing and astrology and spirituality and all these things into like a business, and now I understand how they're all coming together. I mean, it's just kind of like miraculous and fun. So I get a kick out of it, I guess.
So how did you get into astrology? What has that been like over like the past year of taking these courses? Like, I mean, I watch all of your stuff and I'm just like, this is so cool. Like, I personally know absolutely nothing about astrology. So the only stuff that I know is from you.
Cool. Well, I like to hear that. Yeah. Let's see, like March 2017, I lost my mind basically, and I was just like in a really terrible place and didn't really know what to do. I wasn't seeing a therapist at the time. I didn't really even have like a doctor really. Like, I was just alone and I didn't know where to look. And I had been talking to several people, and I had a close friend of mine who had a family friend, this woman, Belinda. Belinda will like go down in history for this,
Best
and
name
many other
ever.
things. Yeah, seriously, like Belinda, the psychic intuitive woman who lives in Boulder. So this was a family friend that my friend had had for many years. And so whenever she was going through a hard time, she's like, oh, I gotta call Belinda. And so there was one day where she may have mentioned her, and I was like, can I speak to Belinda? Like, so I got on the phone with Belinda and had like a really long conversation with her. And she was not an astrologer, but she did ask for my birth information and did tell me a little bit in the conversation about some astrological things. She mentioned that I was in something called my Saturn return, and a couple of other things. And it just sparked my interest. I was like, what is that? You know, I didn't really, I'd always related to my sun sign, but I had no a Saturn return. Like, Saturn is involved here. Like, what's going on? Like, how do I learn more? So I just started Googling Saturn return, and it's a period of time when Saturn returns to the part in our chart where it was when we were born for the first time. It's like between 27 and 30. And there were all these articles written about what that was. And now it was a really challenging time. And everything that they were saying related, I related to it so much. And it was the first thing in months that made me feel not insane. I was raised Jewish. I didn't really have a great relationship with religion at all. I didn't have anyone in my life that provided any sort of an example of of spirituality or a spiritual practice. So I didn't even know what that looked like, or that astrology could be that or develop into that. So the whole thing was just, I was open to it, but it was all very confusing to me. And so through learning more about the Saturn return, I then decided to, I didn't even listen to podcasts at the time, but I went on the podcast app and just like searched Saturn return. Like, is anybody talking about? And I found an episode on a show, a podcast called Bridging Realities. It's an astrology podcast, and they were talking all about Saturn returns. And again, it was like, oh my God, yes, like this resonates. And I kept listening and kept listening. And so I decided to book a reading with the woman who was the host of the podcast. And we had an amazing conversation. And she actually, I've already recorded an interview with her on my show. So it's going to probably be the third episode that I put out. But so she gave me a reading, and what she said to me was just so miraculous. I'm someone who never understood myself or my weird interests or what I, you know, always just felt confused about what I was supposed to be doing. And she clarified so much for me in such a short period of time. So I kept listening to podcasts and I kept reading more. And I stumbled upon another podcast called Exploring Astrology with Adam Summer. And he announced that he was starting up an apprenticeship, which was online. And, you know, again, it was very similar to my experience becoming a health coach. It was like, I don't really want to be an astrologer, but I just have some feeling that this experience is going to be really meaningful for me. And I haven't really done a program like this in a long time. And the fact that it could be beneficial to me, you know, in terms of my own growth and, you know, it really is if you use it properly, a psychological tool, you know, to really dig deep into who you are. So I just kind of decided to go for it. I mean, and I remember exchanging emails with him being like, I don't really know if I even want to give readings. Like, is this what I should be doing? You know? But yeah, so I did that and it was one of the most phenomenal experiences of my life and being able to meet other like-minded people, especially, and develop that community. And yeah, so that's kind of how I got into it. And I started giving readings because I needed to give readings in order to pass the course. And and it's also the way to learn astrology is, you know, we can all look at charts. Charts are thematic maps, you know, they're not, you don't tell anyone's fortune with it. You can say, oh, hey, in the next X number of years or X period of time, you might be struggling with issues involved with blah, blah, blah. And based on how we interpret the chart and how the planets work and what the archetypes are, we can suggest, you know, remediation for those things. So if this is the struggle, this is kind of where you need to go energetically. So yeah, I've learned, I mean, I can't even tell you how much between that and actually going to therapy, learning so much about myself and my history and learning it through other people as well. And so I am going to be probably offering more readings. I paused for a little while because I've got 100 other things going on, but I'm probably going to start back up again more full time in like February or so. But yeah, I don't really know where that's going to go, but it's certainly been very informative to me on my journey. And, you know, it's amazing to me now in conversing with the people that I converse with that are familiar with astrology. It's such a language that's so useful in so many ways, in terms of talking about like, oh, that person, you know, is a perfectionist and works all the time. Like, oh yeah, they just have so much Virgo, you know, and it's such a quick, easy way to like, you know, and even in relationships, right? Like as an example, one of my close friends, the one with the Belinda woman, we have an aspect. So this isn't going to make much sense to anybody, but, you know, each of us has a birth chart. And so the sun, as well as the moon and Saturn, all the planets were in a specific place in the sky when you were born. And it's different for everyone. We all have the same planets and the same signs and the same houses configured in a different way. And so not only does that give us information about ourselves, but we can put two charts up against one another and we can look at how those people are in relationship to one another, right? So why is it that you guys can't communicate? Oh, well, your Mercuries are, you know, 180 degrees from one another in the sky, right? Like there's an opposition there. So like a friend of mine, you know, I'm a very Martian Aries type person. I take a lot of risk, want to do a lot of crazy impulsive things. And I have a friend who's Saturn, which is the opposite energy, very controlled, very responsible, very squares mine and my Mars in a 90 degree angle. And so it's like in recognizing this tension that we always have of me being like, just do this, go do that, let's do this. And she's like, but what about this? But what about that? You know, and it's like it causes a fight between us. But when we recognize it as these two archetypes coming in contact with one another, we can be sympathetic to one another and recognize like, okay, well, since we know what those archetypes are, we know what the shadow and healthy expression of them are, how can we work with them to, you know, move forward? So yeah, across the board, it's just a phenomenal tool. And it would be my hope that through the work that I do now, you know, I always tell people when I give readings, like, I'm going to give you this reading, but I'm also going to explain to you what we're looking at. I'm going to explain to you what your chart is and how we get to this, because even if you can just recognize and learn to look at your chart in a at all, you can do so much of this work for yourself. You know, you don't need to pay someone to do this for you. You know, if someone says, you know, like right now, Venus is retrograde in the sign of Scorpio. Well, if you know where Scorpio and what planets you have in Scorpio in your chart, you can instantly know what the themes of, you know, these different transits are going to mean for you. So anyway, that was a long answer, but that's how I got into it. And it's kind of the coolest thing ever. So yeah.
I mean, it sounds really cool. Every time you post stuff, I'm like, I don't know what this means, but I need to like look into it more because it sounds so cool.
Yeah.
But so I know how you've said, and this is definitely one of the ways that you helped work through everything, but like mindset and facing past traumas is more important than anything else. So in addition to astrology, like how were you able to address that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a funny story. You know, I think, and because life just works like this, right? Like exactly how it needs to. So when I decided to get a divorce, my plan initially was to stay in my house and have my husband move out for various reasons that made the most logistical sense. But he didn't want to leave the house and I didn't want to fight for it really. Or couldn't, like, there was just no way. I was so stressed out and I didn't know what to do. And so I just kind of left and I didn't know where to go, but my mother suggested I move in with her just temporarily. And it turned into me living with her basically February, March, 3.5 months. And I had always had a little bit of a challenging relationship with my mom, but certainly being in a very vulnerable spot where I needed a lot of support and being with her in that state was like my entire childhood flashed before my eyes. And so it was just kind of happenstance that that's how it got sparked off, was that I was looking at it straight in the face. I mean, like the universe was just like, hi, here's something to deal with now. I couldn't really avoid it. So, you know, and making the connection of like, wow, if I can't handle this as an adult, how did I handle this as a child? And if this was happening as a child and I was calling up my dad, like, What were the arguments that mom and I had when I was a kid? And he's like, oh, like, you know, the same ones you have now. And that just sort of blew my mind, you know, like, oh, so she like never listened to me as a kid. Cool. Like, oh, like she didn't know how to like allow me to be sad or cry. Like, awesome. That's amazing. And then the ironic thing was like my dad then came out because I was losing my mind to kind of like be another support network. So I was like literally living in my child. My parents got divorced when I was five. So I don't remember what that was like, but I certainly got a memory, like electric shock by putting myself back there. So that's really how it started. And I think like a lot of these times in our life do start like that with situations that are just kind of totally out of our control that we don't expect. I don't know if I would have been willing to go down this route had I not been reminded of it being an issue in the first place. So during that whole process, I decided to go see a therapist at the same time that I was learning and diving into astrology. So I was doing it on all fronts. So I was for the first time not just doing a protocol for my physical health. And I wasn't just, you know, like, this was like the crazy part is like you think about in those times and I kept thinking like, well, okay, so I know stress causes health issues and all I wanted to do was to heal my health issues. So I thought, well, okay, well, I just need to avoid the stress. I need to avoid, right? Like I need to avoid all of the feelings because if I have a fit and I cry on the floor for 2 hours, I'm going to give myself an ulcer, right? And I had to break that down and recognize like, no, actually you have to work through the feelings. You don't just like meditate the feelings away. So it was really just about learning all of these things, right? So I'm in therapy. So I'm getting the psychological perspective. I'm learning astrology and I'm learning about my chart, which just completely fucking aligns with the psychological shit. And they work hand in hand. They're informative of one another. And then I am feeling emotions that I haven't felt ever in years, et cetera. And I read a lot about grief. I mean, this was one of the things that I recognized was like how much I never felt anything really. I didn't feel sadness. I didn't, I wasn't, certainly wasn't allowed to really feel a lot of that as a child and grew up just, I knew how to make my life look like I was amazing and great and everything was fine. So I just kind of stopped. I stopped, right? And that was another thing out of my control. It was like, I got so sick and was so incapacitated in general that I couldn't do any of that shit anymore. I couldn't run around and travel to all these work events and speak, and I couldn't sit there and say that I was like in this like stable, fine relationship and I had a house and I, right? Like I didn't have all of that fell away. So it really did feel like the only choice that I had was to either ignore all of it and like, I don't know, medicate in an unhealthy way and just basically like, you know, hold my ears and close my eyes and say la 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 till it was over, which believe me, for the first like 3 months, I basically was doing is like, please, anything but this. And I just fucking gave up it eventually, you know, and just gave in. Like that was how I did it. And that's, it was an all-encompassing process. And it still is. And I'm still very much in it. And I think it was like, this is going to take way longer than you think it is. It's going to be way harder than you think it is. It's not going to look anything like you think it is. You know, what you think will go wrong won't, but then other stuff that you don't think will go wrong will. And things that you didn't think would work out would. And it, but it's going to be complicated and you're going to have to wait and you have to be patient. And just fucking surrendering to like all of that, right? And simultaneously knowing too, actually in my astrology chart, that surrender is a huge part of my own personal journey and getting to a place where I can. So it's like, it's, I see it, right? You see the messages in 80 different places. And it's like, are you going to listen or are you going to run away from it? And I decided, especially if I wanted to be someone talking about this stuff, that I had to walk the talk. And I'm not just going to put stupid quotes up on Instagram if I'm not actively engaging, you know, in those behaviors and all that. So.
Yeah, and now what you're doing in order to walk the walk is you have this new fucking kick-ass podcast that's called A Millennial's Guide to Saving the World. I just listened to the first episode yesterday and I'm already like, okay, I want more. Like, please give it to me. So, talk about what the inspiration for that was and like what you want to do with that podcast. Because, I mean, in my opinion, as a millennial also, I feel like there's a lot of stereotypes and a lot of shit and a lot of work that we have to do if we don't basically want to live in a really shitty world going forward.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I guess it came to me. I think at first I thought I might write a book and then decided that would just take way too long. And so I at the time had just kind of gotten into podcasts. And I've always jokingly said, like, if I could just have conversations with people all day long, like that would be the happiest life of ever. I just really like talking to people and conversing and asking questions. So it just kind of popped into my head, and the millennial angle was interesting. Another interview that I've already recorded with another astrologer. There's a astrological significance to the millennial generation. So we all have the planet of Pluto in the sign of Scorpio, and Pluto rules Scorpio, and Pluto moves through signs very slowly. It takes 250 years to move around the chart, and so it stays in any sign for about a generation. And all of the generations, baby boomers, I mean, like Generation X, on and on and on, is also aligned with where Pluto was in the chart. Like nobody knows this, but it's true. So I found out when I had one of my first readings with this woman, Eugenia. She said, have you listened to the episode on my podcast about the Pluto Scorpio generation? And I said, no. And she said, go listen to it. And it was with a guy named Tim, who I've also now interviewed. And he's also a millennial. And he talked about our generation from an astrological perspective. And that blew my fucking mind, because of what he was talking about and because it was so reflective of what I was going through at the time, which was like our generation having been subjected to quite a bit of trauma when we were younger. So like being the generation that grew up when school shootings started, terrorism, internet porn. We were all born sort of like during or right after the AIDS crisis. So there's a lot of darkness and a lot of stuff that's unique to our generation that didn't really exist for prior generations, like in our that are still alive at least. So that kind of lit me up. And for the first time, I mean, I would always like avoid it if I could. Like, I'm not a millennial. I don't know. I'm older.
Don't
like,
associate me with these people.
Yeah, like, please, no. Yeah, and nobody really, I mean, people still think that, like, the 13-year-olds that exist are millennials. Like, no, dude, like, we're not all millennials. Like, it does end at a certain point. But anyway, so hearing that was really inspirational, and recognizing what we were, it just all fucking clicked. It was like, this crap that the older generations has put on us, true or not, is not productive in any way, you know? So maybe we are entitled, like maybe we were kept inside, you know, and not sheltered and not, you know, given, because our parents were so, you know, traumatized by what was going on in the world when we were born, and like kidnapping started and all of that. And so, like these were our experiences, and how do we use those experiences to the best of our ability while, as we are getting older, we are about to be handed a world that is falling apart on every level, politically, environmentally, I mean, socially, it just goes on and on. So I just became really inspired to like tell a different story. And because I'd gone through so much and I stopped giving a shit about being embarrassed or caring what other people thought of me, it was like, okay, I'm just gonna like be that millennial person that's gonna do a different thing and like just be like, no, I'll withstand whatever judgment you have of me for right now, but like I want to prove everyone wrong, and I want and I know, like, all, you know, how many of my friends are millennials? Like, these are young people who are growing up now, I think, for the first time. Takes a little longer than we think to grow up, but when we reach, you know, our late 20s, things start to happen. I just really wanted to, like, again, like, hold space for people and be like, we don't have to listen to our parents. We don't have to inherit this world if we don't have to. There are a lot of us, like, you can see it in, you know, when we vote, like, the way that we're voting, we have immense power if we, and fuck voting. That definitely vote, just kidding. But that's not the fucking solution. We need to like overthrow the government. Like, it's just, you know, like we really need to take matters into our own hands and make choices that are reflective of the world that we want to live in. So in my kind of avant-garde way was just like, okay, well, I'm going to start a podcast about saving the world, as ridiculously broad as that is. Why not think about it? Like, why not start thinking about what we need to do? Like, is it impossible? You know, I know everyone tells us it's impossible to make any sort of substantial change, but like, we have had crazier things have happened, you know, in the history. Like, so I just think our capabilities are, immense, and the timing is perfect. And, I think we are a generation of extremely smart, capable humans that are probably going to fuck a lot of shit up in like the best way possible, or at the very least provide the framework for the generations that come after us to start again, right? I do think that we are going to have the worst time in terms of like, we're going to be the ones who have to witness the most crap and deal with the most crap. But that is in effect, right? Especially from an astrological perspective, our evolutionary purpose is to do that, because we withstood so much trauma, because that is our path. It's like, we are the ones capable of doing that. That is our mission, so to speak. So yeah, that was really the meaning behind the whole thing. And really, again, like touching on all these different elements of this, like this is an internal and external process. Like, yes, we need to be thinking like politically, but we also need to be thinking spiritually. And like, we need to be thinking about a bunch, you know, anything, everything from human rights to the, you know, intimate relationships that we have or how we handle sexuality. And I've interested in all of these things, you know? And so that's what this is just having those conversations and bringing people into those those places, and hopefully, again, like providing hope and inspiration for people that just don't know what to do anymore. And through my podcast and my writing and like some of the stuff that I'm going to be putting on Patreon, you know, really providing the framework of that inspiration to just be like, it's all in our control if we want it to be. And so how do we inspire ourselves to do the work that needs to be done? And I would love to be just like even a small spark in that.
That's so cool. Oh my God. So basically what you're creating is not only the Millennial's Guide to Saving the World, but the Millennial's Guide to unfuck everything that has been going on.
For sure, yeah. Like, by saving the world, we need to, like, throw it all away first. Like, everything we're doing is absurd. Yeah, there's an Oscar Wilde quote that I love that's, everything popular is wrong. And it's like, that's just completely how I've decided to live my life. Like, oh, like, hating the patriarchy is cool? I'm gonna, like, not do that just because, like, it's normal, you know? Like, what's, like, ask about other questions? I mean, the patriarchy sucks. But, like, there's conversations to be had there. And so I, to the dismay of many people, always like go to the places that make people think a little harder, become a little bit more uncomfortable. And I think that our generation is wildly capable of that if we allow ourselves to, you know, I think if we go through our own processes of doing our own work so that we're no longer intimidated by questioning our own identity.
Hell yes. Okay.
Yeah.
This has been amazing. Before I let you go, can you tell me and the listeners either the most influential book you've read lately or the most influential podcast you've been listening to lately?
It's funny. That's the question I'm asking in my podcast.
Oh, is, yeah?
what book would you give to like everyone on the planet if you could give a book to? And I'm like, what if someone asked me that? What would I say? And here we are. I have no freaking clue.
You're listen to my podcast.
Yeah, that. So can I do both? Can I do a book and a podcast?
Hell yeah, you can do both.
Okay. So I would say the podcast that really inspired me a lot was this guy, Chris Ryan, who wrote a book called Sex at Dawn. He has a podcast called Tangentially Speaking, and he talks about a lot of stuff like this. He's an older white man, rather. So I'm coming at it from a bit of a different direction, but he kind of says what's on his mind, and he's got a PhD and is a smart dude. So Tangentially Speaking would be the podcast I'd say. And then books. No, okay. No, it is going to be a book about grief because grief is super cool and exciting to talk about. It's called Ridiculous How That Happens. Like, I recommend that book to people like 17 times a day, and then the one time I'm like on the spot to actually say it. It's called The Wild Edge of Sorrow by Francis Weller. He talks about like Native and Indigenous cultures and their rituals as related to grief. And talks about kind of what grief is and how we've neglected that in our culture, really in the Western world in general, and relates it to not only our own personal evolution and journey, but then how that process also opens us up to becoming an intimate connection with our planet. And the sense that like the work that we do on ourselves is the work that we have to do in the world and with the land. So that was kind of a mind-boggling book for me to read, mostly because the grieving process that I was in at the time kind of like totally did that for me, right? Like I just kind of was like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'm grieving and sad and I want to save the world. Like that's what this does, I guess. And then reading books that supported that was like, oh shit, this is a really powerful tool. And so I guess going back to like, you know, my hope for our generation too is really learning about grief and learning how to grieve for not just our lives, but our ancestors and for all of the ways that things are bad, you know, like there's a lot of bad stuff in the world. Someone's got to feel those feelings or we're never going to be able to move forward. So yeah, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, would be the book that I would say it's an intense experience, but a meaningful one. So
love it. All right. Well, before I let you go, tell people where they can find you and where they can find the podcast.
Okay, cool. So at the moment, the podcast, it was just launched yesterday, so I haven't gotten around to putting it up on anywhere other than iTunes, but it's on iTunes and it's called A Millennial's Guide to Saving the World. And then my website's not done, but you can find me on Instagram at Anya, ANYA dot Kates, KAATS. And yeah.
All right, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Dana.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes, and come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.